There are those who would say that any kind of an encounter with the unknown, an alien, a UFO, something like that would qualify as strange. But Philip Imbrogno and many others have their own sort of classification system. In your new book, Phil, Files from the Edge, you have a chapter on high strangeness. How is that different from what would already seem to be a strange situation, seeing an alien or a UFO?
Well, I mean, you know, I remember Alan Hynek used to say that back in the 80s that UFO sightings were strange enough, and that however, there are cases which involve things and instances that are incredibly strange. So we call them higher strangeness.
Well, let's get into some of them. Some of the ones you mentioned. You mentioned one in the book about moving through time. How did this happen? Explain the circumstances, and does it happen often?
Oh, you know, over the years I've gotten, you know, many calls, many letters, many emails, people trying to contact me because they're having experiences. But I have to say that one of the most bizarre cases involved someone who lived in Connecticut back in the 80s. And he called me up, and he sounded very rational. He said that he was driving along in his car, and a silver ball came near his car, and it shot down like laser beams onto his car and put circular areas, that he had encounters with some type of alien, and he used that word, alien. And he said, well, can you meet me and talk to me? And I said, sure, you know, let's meet such and such a place, you know, public place, you have coffee and stuff. And I got there, it was a place, you know, in Connecticut, and I got there at the coffee shop early, and I'm waiting for it. I never met this person, and someone just all of a sudden rushes through the door. And you could just feel the energy that this is this person, because people who have continue to have experiences like this generate a certain type of energy. I mean, you can feel their presence when they come in. They just, like, you know, their faces are wild and so on. They're like not part of our reality anymore. And he knew exactly where I was. So he came over and says, "You Phil?" And I said, "Yeah." And the first thing he said, "What year is this?" I said, "What? What year is this?" I told him the year, and he told me that wasn't sure because he was drifting back and forth in time. And I said, well, you know, sit down and let's start from the beginning. And he said it all started out when, you know, he never had a paranormal experience in his life. He never had anything strange happen, had no interest in UFOs, had no interest in aliens. He lived in Darien, Connecticut, which is a very high influential area with a very high income. And he was a major corporate executive with a very high salary, a beautiful wife, beautiful house, over an acre of property. One day his wife is visiting their family in New York City, and he's watching TV. And all of a sudden, the power goes out in the house, and it dims down, and then it comes back on, and it dims down again. And on his TV, there's all of a sudden, the TV goes out, and the screen kind of like turns a little reddish, and there's an alien or a figure of a head. And it's talking to him, and it gives him its name as Lamu or something like that, Lamanuk or something like that. And he says that he has been chosen to help his people, to work with them, and that they were going to come for him. And, of course, he tried to turn off the TV or turn the channel because he thought he was watching a sci-fi movie. And he realized that this entity was on every channel, and it was talking to him, and he said, "You can't turn me off."
And using his name?
Yeah.
Frank or something like that?
Yeah. And the image was getting clearer. And he tried to turn, you know, pull out the plug and everything, and the image is still on. Finally, he says, no, this can't be. And he ends up picking up an ashtray or something, throwing at the TV, blowing up the TV and breaking it. And then the phone starts ringing, and there's a voice on the phone that's like a mechanical, and telling him that, you know, they can't get away from him, and now they're going to turn on the power and so on and so on, and they will be communicating with him. And this really had him unnerved. I mean, this was enough to throw him off the edge. and that he felt drained, and he drank some whiskey or something that night to calm his nerves down, and he went to bed. And during the night, he had visitations of what I guess would be called shadow people, dark entities coming into his room. And obviously, that was the first contact there. But later on, to make a very long story short with this individual, he was actually taken later. He was walking down in Bruce Park in Greenwich, Connecticut, and found himself walking, getting dizzy, and then opening his eyes, and the scenery has changed, and there are three people walking down on the path towards him now. Now there's flowers and stuff like that, and it looks different. And they were dressed sort of like in clothes from 1800s. And he tried to have a conversation with them, and they seemed very frightened of him, like he was out of place. And then he felt dizzy again, and he woke up, and he saw this being that he saw on the TV standing over him. And he said, "You've been selected. We're going to beam you up to our ship." The next thing he knew, there was a bright light. He was on top of the ship. He was in the ship, and he saw other people in there. And he said, the being told him that these are other people who are working with us to save your planet. And he said that the coastal area of Connecticut was destroyed so many years in the future. Now, from the day I was there, for the number of years that he said, it came out to the year 2012.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. Now, get this. This was like in 1984. And he says, well, in so many years in the future, he gave the number of years, there's going to be an atomic device located on the East Coast in a Connecticut building. It's going to be dropped there by terrorists, and the whole East Coast is going to be engulfed in an atomic explosion. And you have been selected, they said to him, to stop it. We're going to train you to disarm this device. And he said, he said something like, why can't you do it? And he says, oh, we can't get next to it because of some type of radiation or something. Now, he has continued contact with these beings, and he's saying that, you know, they're going to drop him off and he'd give him the training, put it in his mind to disarm the device. Now, you have to remember, this is a married individual, and as time is going on, his wife is all part of this and saying, you know, what the heck is happening to my husband? And she wanted him to go see a psychiatrist. And the psychiatrist, of course, said that he was pressured with his job and he was trying to escape reality. Let's put him on medication. And, well, you know, it really didn't help too much at the time. He told me that, you know, he was driving along in Greenwich, Connecticut, and an object appeared, a silver ball, and shot down these laser beams onto his trunk of his car, which were high, really very shiny, and they were magnetic later. And that led me into thinking about what happened to Betty and Barney Hill with the magnetic spots after their encounter. So that interested me quite a bit, but the spots disappeared in a couple of hours.
Is there anything other than his account, his testimony, that would support the story?
Actually, nothing. Nothing. And the thing is that he was taken again, you know, by these aliens, so to speak, and he claimed that he was projected into the future, and he disarmed this atomic bomb and saved the coast, you know, and that... And then later on, of course, what happened is that these beings told them they were not from another planet. They could care less about our world, but atomic explosions do disrupt their world. They're in a world very close to ours, and that the electromagnetic waves have a very poisonous effect from an EMP blast from an atomic explosion, have a very, very bad effect on them and where they live.